This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely yes. My soul says yes. To God be the glory. Our scripture for our message today, taken from the Gospel according to John chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and it reads, "So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' He answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.' They said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered them, 'I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?'" Our subject for today's message: our actions, our witness. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, and deliverer, we ask right now in the precious, powerful, and peaceful name of Jesus that you speak to us, we your servants, that we may hear your words and be followers of your word to do your will. Have your way in us, God. We thank you for this awesome opportunity. We thank you for everyone who gets a chance to experience this worship. And we ask that you would guide and guide, direct and speak and use us, God, as nobody can but you. Let us hear, let us receive, let us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this series of messages urging us to do what God has called us to do, even in the midst of this pandemic and all the many challenges that we face, we have been looking at the plight of a man who had been born blind. Let's look again at this passage in the Gospel according to John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. "As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Do you truly trust God?" Take time to reflect on that. Take time to think to yourself, do I really trust God? Do you believe that God can fix it? Whatever it is, do you believe God can fix it? Well, the way that we show that we trust him is to obey him and let our actions be our witness. In Luke chapter 6, we did a series of sermons on Luke 6 from what Jesus said, his very words. And we talk about what actions can we have? What is it that we can do? Because what we can do now. So many times we want to wait until the conditions are right. We want to wait until the seasons are right. We want to make sure that we've done enough studying and got all the subject matter down right before we move. We want to plan and plan and replan. But right now we can see clearly, as what Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 6, each one of us can do what the word of God says do, if we allow God to direct us and get it done. Again, Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27, it reads, "But I say to you who hear, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Jesus taught that. And I want to admonish us today to realize it's time to act. It's his will that none should perish. And if we follow him, his will be done. We have been living in a blind situation. Very difficult operating when you can't see. People have us pegged. Yet those of us who attend church, those of us who say we're Christians, they really think they have us pegged. They know what we will do in almost every situation. You criticize me, I'm going to criticize you back. You step on my toe, I'm going to break your foot. You don't like me, I don't like you. Same old way, day in and day out. They know what buttons to push. We're blind to why we ought really love the people we can't stand. We're blind to how this would make our lives any better. We are blind as to why it even really matters. Just can't see it. I hear all the time, I can't see it. Can't see doing it. Can't see loving like that. Can't see it. I can't see it. We never could see it. But then along comes Jesus. Whew. Jesus anoints our inability to see and sends us on our way to obey. The Bible says, this blind man, after he obeyed Jesus, came back seeing. He came back seeing. What about us? What about you? If you could see the miracle the Lord seeks to do in our lives, others would witness the transformation and cannot doubt the fact that the Lord did it. Our actions is our witness. Your actions are your witness. What you do matters. What you say matters. What we do matters. What we say matters. This is the year of action. Seeing that we truly desire to do God's will, let's look at three things relative to how our actions become our witness. First, our hardship should become our worship. Let me say it again. Our hardship should become our worship. In verse 24 in John chapter 9, they said to this man, give glory to God. Can't agree with them more. Whenever we have gone through a difficult time in our lives, or even while going through difficult times in our life, we truly need to take time to turn that hardship into worship. We ought give glory to God. Yes, we ought. Matter of fact, take time right now. Just go ahead, take time right now. Turn your full attention to the creator and sustainer of life. Give him all the praise. Yes, give him all the praise. In the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of what you're going through right now, in the midst of what's on your mind, in the stuff that's messing with you, in the midst of whatever it was that kept you from getting the rest you wanted to get last night, take time right now just to realize who God is and how much he loves you, and go ahead and praise him and worship him. Give glory to God. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18, This is why, even in the midst of what you're going through, that you still ought to take time to focus on who God is. Apostle Paul helps us with this as he speaks to the church in Thessalonica. Verse 15, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 16, Rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Understand that whatever you're going through, God still loves you, God cares for you. And whatever God is doing in your life, it is so you can be better, never so you can be bitter. Oh, I remember when Evangelist Ruby Jenkins was served as our minister of music. And while she'd be directing the choir or not, this was years ago, she would always take time for her little moment of praise and worship. I look back now and I just gotta thank God for her, how she led us in there. But no matter how worship was going, no matter what things were going on, she would take time, back up a little bit from the piano, and say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, makes my soul cry out, hallelujah! And I thank God for saving me. And then she'll pray a little something. I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you right now. Just go ahead and thank God for what he's done, how he's done, what he's doing in your life. Can't thank him for nothing else. Thank him for the fact that he died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We ought to take time to praise him. We ought to worship him because of who he is. We ought to worship him, how much he loves us and cares for us, and the sacrifices he's already made for you and for me. Just go and take time right now to worship. Don't knock over the coffee table, but take time to worship him. Worship him, worship him. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we adore you. We magnify your name. What an awesome God we serve. Say it with me, because when you worship him, you truly do have the victory in your life. Don't let others think they have victory over you, but because you love God, you have the victory. Victory is mine. Yes, victory is yours. That's right. Take time. Go ahead. Type that in right now. Victory is mine. Yeah, you can shout, when I think about the goodness. The victory. God has given you the victory, even in the midst of what you're going through right now. You're going to say, Lord, I thank you. Woo! Thank you, God. Look, this man was blind since birth. And it's time for him and it's time for us to give God glory. Yes, turn your hardship into worship. Secondly, our relationship should become a partnership. Our relationship should become a partnership. We are co-laborers with Christ. We should be working hand in hand with he who has created and he who sustains this world. Say what you will about Jesus, but you can see the proof that he's working in us, that he's working in you, he's working in me. Say whatever you want to say about Jesus, how folk may tell you he's this or he's that or he's just a prophet, he's not fully God and fully man. Whatever folk want to say about Jesus, they can look at you and tell that God exists and that Christ lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. They can do that. It's you. Yes, your actions, your witness, our actions, our witness. This once blind man, yeah, this once blind man said, I hear all you saying about Jesus. I hear what you're saying about this man, that he might be a sinner, or he is a sinner, or he's this, or he's that, or whatever. You could, whatever you gotta say, you can say all that. But he said, this one thing I can tell you, and this one thing you know, I once was blind, but now I see. That's a testimony. His actions got him to the point that even though he was blind, he obeyed and now he can see. Woo! He's saying the proof is in the pudding. No matter what you've heard from the media, no matter who hates him, no matter who wants to talk about him, no matter what's going on, he said, but now I see. His relationship formed a partnership. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. How did his relationship form a partnership? All right, let's go through it right quick. He met Jesus. Jesus was passing by. Jesus did his part, and the work that he was going to do, Jesus did his part. He saw him. He took saliva, mixed it with the dirt, got mud, anointed his eyes. Jesus did his part, but then there was a part the man had to do. Yes. Look at verse 6 and 7 in chapter 9. Having said these things, he spat on the ground, Jesus spat on the ground, and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. This is what happens. The Bible says, so the man went. He went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus anointed him and told him to go and wash. The man went and washed. I can't go too fast. Somebody might have missed it. Jesus anointed his eyes and said, go and wash. The man went and washed. And because they had because this partnership had formed a relationship, and this relationship has formed a partnership, look what happened. The man came back seeing. Been blind since birth, but he came back seeing. You may have a relationship with Jesus, but is it a true partnership? In a partnership, we both have to work. Yeah. Faith without works is dead. You are a true partner with Christ when you're doing the work he has called us to do. Are you a true partner with Christ? After he anointed you, are you just sitting there and waiting on him to do something else? Or are you going to get up and go and do what the Lord said do? Oh yeah, we have that relationship. We've come to know him. We connected with him, with the church. But do we have a real honest relationship that's developed into a partnership, because we're not asking God to do all the work, but we're asking him to use us. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Can you hear that? If you're healing, Lord, please don't do it without me. If you're saving folk, Lord, please don't do it without me. It's a true partnership. Well, do what? Do what? What am I supposed to do? Pastor, what am I supposed to do? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. What am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. Our text earlier told us in Luke chapter 6 and even before then, in Matthew 22, we're supposed to love God. Love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do what? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. Yeah. Go wash. Go wash and come back seeing. What a mighty God we serve. Lastly, not only must we turn our hardship into worship and our relationship into partnership, our fellowship should become discipleship. Our fellowship should become discipleship. Notice that as this man who now restored his sight had people coming around him to talk about this healing, talk about this receiving of his sight. And all they could talk about was, wow, are you really the one who was blind? Is this you, or is it somebody who looked like you? He said, oh no, it's me, it's me. I've got my sight. It's me. I was the one that was born blind. But look in our text is how he starts speaking to the Pharisees who question him again. They've already asked him, how did this happen? And he told them, it was a man named Jesus who put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash. And I went and washed and I came back seeing. It was Jesus who did that. He's already told them this a couple of times. And now they're coming back to him again and asking him the same thing again. But now while they're in his presence, look at what he does when they're in his presence. He asks them something we ought to ask others who are in our presence. When we're fellowshipping with others, particularly others who may not know Christ, who may not know who Jesus is, who may not know what Jesus has done in your life, but have seen the evidence of it through your actions, Now you have evidence that something has transformed your life. Something has transpired in your life. Now you have an opportunity to tell those who you fellowship with, do you want to become a disciple of Jesus? Do you too want to learn who he is and allow him to transform your life? Whoever you're around should see your actions, and your actions become your witness to lead others to a real relationship with Jesus and their willingness to become his disciples. If we would trust God enough to do what he says he'll do, if we would trust God enough to tell our friends, our family, our neighbors, our enemies, to take note of what he has done in our individual lives, when they can see the fact that we have been with Jesus, when they can see the change in our lives, oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, what joy, like sea billows go, since Jesus came into my heart. Can those who you hang around with see your anointing? Can they see your anointing and can't help but start asking you questions? What happened in your life? Why is there a shift in the way you think? Why is there a shift in the way you care about others? How is it that you can forgive me for the stuff that I've done, stuff I've said to you? How is it that you have been transformed, that you don't go back to the old stuff and talk about the old stuff and get upset about stuff? What happened in your life? And are you willing to be able to tell them when they start asking you the questions, that they kept asking this man the questions, are you willing to tell them that it was Jesus, and do you want to be his disciple also? Oh, what a wonderful thing you could do if we would do that. Your actions, my actions, our actions is our real witness. Don't take credit for it now. Oh, no. Because God has come into your life and there's been a change, there's been a transformation. Don't ever get the big head and say you're a better person because of you. Remember, it's a partnership. And you ought to take time to make sure you give God glory. Your actions are your real witness. Don't you take the credit. Even though the man went and washed, he didn't lose sight, pun intended, he didn't lose sight that he couldn't have done it without Jesus. Y'all heard that? Yeah. Even though he now had his sight, and even though he did something, he did get up and he did go and wash, and he came back seeing, he had to admit that if it had not been for Jesus, he would not have his sight. Let your light shine that others may see your good works and give God glory. Let your light shine for your witness. Yeah, for when we witness, they will see our witness by our actions. And when they see our actions, let's show them Jesus. Our actions show how much we appreciate what he's done for us. Our actions show how much we are thankful and grateful for how God loves us so much. Our actions are so grateful because it reflects on the actions that God did. Well, what did God do? He loved us so much that he sent his son through 42 generations, and he came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good Jesus did, even though they talked about him, even though they ridiculed him, even though they did all sort of mean stuff to him. And I know people do mean stuff to you. I know you have mean circumstances in your life, but look at what Jesus did. So that even the ones that whipped him all night long, even the ones that arrested him, even the ones that nailed him to the cross, can you see him dying for all of their sins and all of my sins and all of your sins? Can you see our Lord and Savior hanging on the cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see him dying for all of your sins, my sins, our sins, everyone's sins? Can you see him dying? That's nothing but love. And the Bible says he died, but the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday, but early, on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. Pastor, why you always tell us that? That he died for our sins, those who can. Because no matter what you're going through, your actions ought to reflect that you are witness to the fact that you believe that he died, that he rose, and that he's coming back again. Your life ought to be a witness. Your actions ought to be a witness that you know that he loves you, he cares for you. And doesn't matter what the world does to you or how the world treats you, you're still going to hold your head high and say, for God I live, for God I die. You can hold your head high. You can glorify God. You can worship him. Through all your hardships, you can worship him. Through all your tribulations, you can worship him and thank him for what he's done and for what you're going to receive. Because one day we're going to leave this place. We got another house. Another building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Because God loves us so much that he died, that he rose, that he's coming back again. Oh yes, my brother, my sister, you may be there today saying, I need that Lord in my life. I need Jesus Christ in my life. I've sinned, I've come short. And the Bible is clear, we all have sinned and come short. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So right now, today, you can say, Lord, I need you in my life. I want to accept you. I need you. I need the joy that comes from knowing you. I need you, God. I need to be able to turn my hardships into worship. I need to have a relationship with you and then a partnership. Oh, yes, you can tell them today, God, I need you in my life in such a way. I need you in my life in such a way that everyone I fellowship with can become a disciple. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm asking you to repeat this prayer after me. Now, I'm praying, but it needs to be from your heart. It's coming from my mouth just so I can lead you in prayer. Because the Bible is clear in Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a fact. So if you believe that, that's going to be in the prayer that I'm about to pray. And you have to be willing to do his will. You got to be willing to do what the Lord would have you do. We all have sinned. We have to have a willingness to repent and to turn from our sins. So if you believe that, pray this prayer with me, that you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, right now, if you want to accept him. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know that. Click the link that you see right there to give us more information. You can become a member of First African and share with us worldwide. We'd love to have you as a part of our fellowship to share with us as you become a disciple of Jesus, a member of First African. We're so grateful to have you with us. We also want you to know that you can give. Again, we want to remind us that you can give through Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. That's wherever you are. You can download that app and look at First African Baptist Church in Savannah. First African Baptist Church in Savannah. God bless you. And well, First African Baptist on Franklin Square in Savannah. Yeah, no disrespect, First African East Savannah. Amen. Give a chance to give and give God all the praise and honor. Pay your tithes, give an offering. Also, you can also mail your contributions to First African Baptist Church, 23 Montgomery Street, Savannah, Georgia, 31401. You can mail the contributions or bring them by the church. We thank God for you coming to share with us in this worship experience. We ask that you continue to remember all of our observations, all of our announcements. Join with us on today to be with the NAACP at 4 o'clock, and then at 5:30 through our Facebook live also. You get a chance to share with us with the Arts Committee that's working with those who have been incarcerated and others who've been justly impacted to be talking about employment on tonight at 5:30. So join us. Again, thank you for worshiping with us today. We give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy this day. And let our actions, yes, be our witness. Let us pray. God, again, we thank you, we love you and adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you today in spirit and in truth. We ask now that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.